Does anyone even know why I do that at the start of every show?
No, not
because it's your way to remind us that we really should get the theme song back.
Hello and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast as we record this on the evening of August 7th in the year of 2014. Today, my name is Peter Quill, if you probably could have guessed. To my right is the lovely and green Gamora.
Cool.
Across from me is the been working out Drax.
Hi.
I don't remember a single line he said.
I'm Peter Quill, that's stupid. I am Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Who?
Star-Lord, man. And to my left, of course, is Groot.
I am Groot.
Who will stay in character throughout the entire podcast.
I am Groot.
One can only hope.
And in case you didn't know, that would be Doobie, Rebecca.
Hey.
Alex.
Hi.
And Groot.
I am Groot.
This is going to be the best show ever.
It's going to be quick, too.
Oh, we should have had the little Star-Lord doll ready to give that line that he says. The that's going to wear thin real fast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. Wait, you do have a plan, right? Or is that just another thing you made up? Meet my friends, the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, so close.
Don't mess with my friends.
That's
going to wear real thin.
He's got a lot of lines.
Just like we planned it.
Real thin, real fast.
We do have some breaking news, though, before we get to our Guardians of the Galaxy talk. Apparently, our last podcast, which was, by the way, called... What was it called? It was called something or other. It was something, but I just erased it and forgot already. But we have since learned that the correct pronunciation of correct pronunciation is not some sum, as we did for an entire 2-hour podcast.
Tell me something good.
But it is in fact, Alex?
Sum sum.
Like the Mazda commercials?
Kind of similar.
Yeah.
It's not as charming.
So you're no longer a fan now, right?
Oh, no, I still love it. I just wish it was really sum sum.
Because I'm pretty sure you are, if you type sum sum into Google, your article comes up first, because we've never had...
Really?
I don't know.
Wow.
I've never had so many Facebook comments on an article that people asking you to be their friend. You go check
Fairness.
It out.
Fairness. I didn't create a Line account. I guess if I do, I lose all my sums, though. All my sums go away if I create a Line account now.
So all these people want to friend you, and you can't even help them out.
I put in the article that I'd skipped that part. If they read every word, they'd know I don't have a Line account.
I think they're just reading the person above them asking, and then they just...
Maybe. It could be. I'm glad to have created an online forum where everyone can friend each other and get more hearts and play more Tsum Tsum.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. Let's get on with... Oh, no, we have sponsors. Who are they? Podcast. Nope. They are MouseYearVacations.com for book and Disney travel. Fanboy, last time we saw you, you were about to go on a Mouse Year Vacation cruise on the Disney Cruise Line. Did it go well?
I am Groot.
Awesome. Thank you, Mouse Year Vacation. And
you made it back, and that's all that matters.
And so they're great if you want to book a Disneyland, Disney World, Walt Disney Adventures by Disney, Aulani.
With the what?
I'm missing one. Disney Cruise Line.
Yeah.
Ship. trip. Concierge service, no extra charge. Been using them many, many, many times. Recommend them without hesitation. We'd also like to recommend you go to Howard Johns of Anaheim if you want to stay near the Disneyland Resort. They will take great care of you. They're closer to the front gate of Disneyland than the Disneyland Hotel itself. They have great... family suites. They have great water play area. They have great views of the monorail. They have Matterhorn Cam. They are awesome, and they love the Disney fans. You get a discount if you mention Laughing Place. You get a discount if you're an annual pass holder at the Disneyland Resort. All the Disneyland fans who come from out of town stay at Hojo Anaheim. You ever stayed at Hojo Anaheim, fanboy?
I am Groot.
Awesome, awesome. So with that, let's get on with the show. We will start this show talking about, what's the name of that movie again, fanboy?
I am Groot.
This is awesome. when will we free you from this?
I'm Groot.
Next podcast.
Should I be Raccoon and interpret for you? What did you think of Guardians of the Galaxy?
I am Groot.
Really disappointed, huh?
I am Groot!
He apparently liked it as much as old dogs.
No, I am Groot.
So are we going to be spoiler-free? I mean, this time?
We don't need to talk for hours. We can just do a nice spoiler-free review. Did he catch that? Spoiler-free review of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Don't spoil the ball game in case somebody's watching that.
Yeah, in case someone's got the ball game DVR'd on Saturday morning and they're listening to us while watching.
So I saw Guardians with Fanboy before the general public release, so I didn't get to see the tag, so I can't spoil that anyway because I didn't see it, and I'll pretend like I don't know what it is.
I would like to sum up what you thought of this movie as told to me by...
Zoom.
Soon?
Zoom it up.
Go back to I Am Groot, please. What you thought of this movie as told to me by Fanboy at lunch today.
Oh, really?
If this movie were a man, you would leave me for him.
Wow.
I really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed this movie much more than I expected to enjoy this movie. Especially since everybody was telling me I was going to enjoy this movie, and usually that leads to me not enjoying a movie, but I did. The one thing that I will say is I wish it didn't have quite as much vulgarity in it. Like, just, you know, they drop SH.
He is still trying to figure out how to use the machine.
And no, they use that a lot more than I would prefer. But other than that, I appreciate it. For one thing, I don't like a lot of violence, and the most violent scene in it was off camera. It was implied and mostly off camera, and so most of the other violence wasn't that as intense as I have found some of the other Marvel films that I saw, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought the most gruesome thing was one of Groot's actions.
Oh yeah.
That was fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and smiles.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
But like I say, most of the stuff that would be kind of, I don't know, have that ick factor that they seem to want to go for in a PG-13 movie, that is why I often don't go to PG-13 movies. They didn't have that, and was there any nudity in this?
Yes.
In this film,
Rocket Raccoon had a nude scene.
True, I forgot. Okay, so, but
I Am Groot.
No, I really it was just a lot of fun. It was a buddy film to me. Mm-hmm. It followed kind of like that Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
What was the Jackie Chan ones?
Rush Hour.
Rush Hour.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
That kind of thing, but you had several people, which I thought would work against them, but because the plot is so convoluted, it actually kind of worked for them because they used the fact that they had so many people to kind of have a lot of exposition dialogue, but they could do it in a fun manner because they could bounce off each other.
Even like, so the dynamic of their personalities clashing was just fun to watch, but then also, like, you know, picking up, they don't give you a lot of backstory on anyone in particular,
exactly.
But you get a little bit of, you know, that like Drax and Gamora are at odds initially because of just who Gamora is and mm-hmm. who she's related to. And I mean, just seeing all that tension, kind of they're forced
exactly.
into a ship together. And it was awesome. I loved it.
I had a good time with it. I understand why some people are somewhat comparing it I've heard a few people compare it to kind of the Firefly dynamic that you had with Mal and the team of misfits that came together on Serenity. Mm-hmm.
My favorite description is it's the best Star Wars movie since 1980.
Ah.
That's cute.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It is very much a Star Wars movie.
I was very impressed with how unlikable Star-Lord is, but yet you still cheer for him. Mm-hmm. He's like a guy where I'm like, seriously, I would not want to spend 10 minutes with him. But for whatever reason, I still don't want him to, you know, stink. Unlike Harrison Ford and, I mean, you know, Han Solo. Han Solo, you're like, yeah, I want to grab a beer with that guy. But Star-Lord is not.
Star-Lord unlikable.
He's just not, I don't know, he's just...
He's a little bit self-righteous.
He's
yeah.
the frog. He was devastated.
Are we doing spoilers here?
Well, that's in the first scene of the... I mean, you have... If you're
yeah, I know,
I know. Movie, it happened in the very first scene of the movie.
So the way Star-Lord comes off, like, if you were to meet him in high school and you weren't, like, a hacky sack playing bag of douche, you probably wouldn't like to hang out with him.
True.
If your backstory is the opening of Up, you too would have
it. No, and I think that's why. I mean, I loved his backstory and I loved the way they used it.
Did you like it kind of hitting you in the face at the very beginning of the film?
I actually did, and I was surprised that it just kind of started because people, you know, the credit or the trailer is just played, and all of a sudden the movie just kind of starts. It doesn't start with the Marvel logo. It doesn't let you know, hey, this is the
movie.
This
is not spoiler-free.
A trailer.
I mean, if you're going to talk about the movie, If this you don't want to hear about the movie, don't listen to us at all. We're going to talk about the movie. This is the first scene of the movie.
But just, I mean, so the movie just begins. Like, all of a sudden, there's a scene happening, and it's on Earth. It doesn't necessarily look like the trailer you saw for Guardians of the Galaxy. And so, people didn't quite catch on at first that this is the movie. And then I think it kind of hit them, and then the Marvel logo comes up after this dramatic opening. But, I think had that not been there front and center, I probably would have been a little annoyed with Peter Quill, Star-Lord's character, from the get-go, but because you kind of felt for him after seeing that, it made him kind of instantly likable.
Right.
It took a little bit of... It takes a little bit of the edge off of him. Mm-hmm. They did that at the beginning. I thought that was very smart. What about you, fanboy?
I'm Groot. Okay, we gotta talk about the movie. I liked it. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, when I first heard of Guardians of the Galaxy, first of all, hate's a strong word. I did not like Guardians of the Galaxy's original comic book run.
Oh, okay.
From, a couple years ago. It was very cosmic, very, very not grounded on Earth at all. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, not that it needs to be, but it was all these weird characters, and I didn't know what was going on.
So it was just not a comic that I felt was accessible to me. And I mean, I'm not a Marvel reader from birth, so I just figured that that kind of world was too esoteric for me. And I was kind of concerned. One thing that made Avengers work was there was a lot of characters, but we all knew them all. You didn't have to go.
There was a familiarity,
But these guys, you don't. But that's why I think it was a very well-crafted movie in terms of the exposition, where it left you wanting more, but it didn't. You didn't feel like you didn't know who they were, but it still kind of shared, everyone got their moment, and which I think is hard to stick that many people in a film and still feel connected to them all. I mean, there's not a single Guardian, whatever you want to call them, that I wouldn't want to see now in a solo film.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
And so, including
Bautista?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's an interesting character.
I did not expect to come out of this film with the Bautista character being the one that I'm most interested in. I mean, really, I came out of this film most fascinated by Drax and by Rocket, which I thought they would be I thought they'd be kind of the throwaway.
I was all about Gamora coming out of it.
Yeah, but see, I am Gamora living with you idiots, so it's so true. It was funny so many times when she would just walk with all those guys and she'd just shake her head and go, idiots. And I'm like, yep, I feel you, sister.
I would get a dollar every time I said the word idiot in that movie. Well, and with Drax, I usually when they hire the WWE guy, they just need the muscle. It's not the best acting performance in the world. But he was
nuanced.
Sweet yet violent, the destroyer. He was able to. You looked into his eyes and you could see Drax.
Exactly.
That's
through all that makeup, right. And
I think
and
it's
bulk.
Like soap operas. Like soap operas make the best actors, and now I think just WWE makes the best actors.
That's why I love Thunder. What was that show Hulk Hogan was on? Thunder Alley.
Something like that. Yeah. Wow.
It's weird though because. There was a secret that was like they were keeping regarding the movie about a character that was going to make an appearance, and then they announced who's playing him, Josh Brolin, and he's like it's almost like he's not important.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
So, yeah, it was almost like they cheapened the character, but it'll be interesting to see. Like, there's so many characters in there that I mean, thankfully, because I don't want to sit there for 3 hours. They were interesting, yet you didn't get enough of them. Like, you have Glenn Close there, and she's...
Watch your rabbit.
I was going to say watch your puppies.
She's really good with animals, isn't she?
I see her and Rocket in a movie together. That's going to be fun. You had Wreck-It Ralph in there. You had the Collector, who was bizarrely fascinating.
With Isio Del Toro.
Yeah,
I just like the pink species
that is
represented in various spots throughout the film randomly. I'm like, I want to know more about the pink people. I really do.
So it makes you, I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's interesting because the last movie we had was Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Which I still haven't seen.
Which, in terms of Marvel Cinematic Universe, is very game-changing. I mean, just
mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
There's not a lot of game-changing in Guardians mm-mm. in terms of that overall plot line. And it's kind of like a nice little breather before we get into Age of Ultron. But I have a question. And I was going to post this on my Facebook page, and I didn't. So, Phase 1, right? That was called Avengers Assemble. At least that's what they called the DV box set. You know, what would you think they... Like, Phase 2 just seems like this kind of, like... There's no through line. You think they'll have... There is some... You think that in their minds there's some overarching...
Maybe we'll find out...
That will, like, will come to light once they say it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll find out in Age of Ultron
like what Avengers, it, what the war is. To end all wars.
Yeah, but... Yeah, like the fall of... Whatever, or something like that. Yeah, I think so. I think you'll see it.
Taking on Thanos.
This film, I was surprised at how well the quirky music was used. Mm-hmm. I expected it to be off-putting or whatever, but it actually, it was used well. I liked the score of this film more than some of the other Marvel. I really liked the Guardians of the Galaxy theme. I loved it. The only area where I would say this film kind of, I don't know, disappointed me or fell flat was the air battles. They were, I don't know, I'm pretty sure this is James Gunn's first time directing a film with air battles. I'm not 100% on that. But it was very hard to, and I don't, at first I thought it was just because I saw it in 3D. But sometimes I had a very hard time kind of following who's shooting at which ship and who's getting, you know, and I just had a bit of a, not that it really mattered too much, because ultimately you could tell good guy, bad guy, you know, who's winning kind of thing. That means that's the ultimate. But I didn't feel like I could follow the air battles as well. I suffered from that a little bit with the Battlestar Galactica sci-fi series too sometimes,
yeah,
where
too.
The air battles were just so chaotic that it was, and it could be a deliberate choice that they don't want you to feel like it's kind of this organized aerial, aerial ballet. They want it to be the cacophony of what goes on, you know. But that was my only frustration, was sometimes I was kind of like, huh?
I agree with you, but it was nice that that was almost insignificant. That mm-hmm. wasn't the real battle going on.
Much so like the plot itself.
Right. But that's like, you know, you're talking about the music. You see that sort of, I don't want to say traumatic, but very, you know, when you see that emotional beginning and you go like, oh yeah, this is the funniest Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you see Peter Quill get on this planet or whatever and you're not quite sure what's going on. And then...
I thought I was watching a new version of Captain EO at first.
See you later, trash can. sort of ironic it did replace Captain EO. And then, you know, he puts on his Walkman and then, like, they put up the big logo and you just see him prancing around and grabbing the Womp Rat or whatever that thing
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
Treating them a little less nicely than he treated the frog.
Right. So, but it that was a nice moment to kind of go, okay, you know, we're not that movie. I mean, that was the setup, that was the, but... Right. We're going to have some fun for the next 2 hours.
Oh, the movie did have some heart.
Yeah, well, thank goodness.
Oh, no,
yeah.
It did. Nice. It did.
Yeah.
A nice tear-jerking ending.
It had heart. Mm-hmm. It had...
Groot doesn't cry at movies, so had, don't ever say tear-jerking.
It had heart. It had extreme inappropriateness. It had it all.
Speaking
it was
of Jackson
fun.
Pollock.
It was very fun. It was a very fun film.
It's funny how, like... I remember when the first CGI characters were coming, like Jar Jar and all those things.
Yes.
People were like, you know, this is terrible. You can never identify with them. And we just saw a movie with, like, two CGI.
A raccoon. They never said that about Gollum, though, and he wasn't that far behind.
But that was
so
after.
Many years later.
Yeah, that was.
Was it? It felt like it was only, like, 4 years, three years
after,
later.
After no.
Yeah, because episode one was what, 2000?
No, 99. Must have been 99.
Okay, so 99, 2000, and the first Lord of the Rings was 2003.
Yeah, but that...
Well, there's a difference between release date and actual production as well, and where technology goes, you know, in that meantime.
It's also cool, though, because Rocket Raccoon, I mean, it's one thing to create an alien, but Rocket Raccoon actually looks like a raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's meant to look like the actual animal who just happens to shoot guns. And to pull off something that we can actually relate to and look in our backyard and kick out of our trash can, that's even more impressive.
But can I share something? I'm a little disappointed in the Walt Disney Company right now. Usually they're so when you're thinking about the environment, you think about the good of the planet. What's that word?
Environmentality.
Environmentality, but no, conscientious. Liberal. No, conscientious about behavior and taking. What I'm saying? You know, Nemo came out. They did PSAs about clownfish.
That's true.
And this kind of thing. And I haven't seen anything about raccoons.
That's a good point.
I mean, haven't been any PSAs. I'm totally kidding, but I mean, but I still think it would be his.
I'm waiting for the David Crockett crossover.
With the thematic of this film and the humor of this film, I half expected, now that it's been out a little bit, for them to have released some totally tongue in cheek, PSA about raccoons, maybe some old Rascal footage.
I think that's a great idea.
Rocket doesn't want to see your garbage.
I want a dancing Groot.
I want
a solar powered one that rocks
just
back
a little
and forth,
solar
just sits on your.
And I want. I'm gonna get double sided sticky tape. Doing? Put it in my dashboard.
Have you seen the one that's coming out from? It's a beautiful tall figure, and then it comes with an additional Groot. I'll show it to you after the podcast. It's very, very cool.
Am I the only one that doesn't like Groot?
Yes.
Am I the only one that didn't 100% love this movie?
Yes.
No, you're not the only one who didn't love this movie.
At this table.
Yes, at this table, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
Yeah.
We can move on.
Yeah, but it was fun.
It was a great movie.
I would not take a child under, 11, 12 to it?
It depends on your, I mean, all
typically.
All it is crassness.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about violence. You don't have to worry about sex. So some kids, are more advanced when it comes to crassness.
Exactly.
Aren't.
See, to me, this is like, when I was younger, I feel like this would have gotten by with a PG rating. And so I would have been at the theater at like 6, seeing this kind of movie.
Your family had no concept of when it was appropriate to show a movie to people.
Not quite true.
When did you see Alien?
I was maybe 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Too young. But that was my brother showing me Alien.
When did you see
the thing with this was also 6. the thing with this film. Yeah, like I say, the thing with this film is, I think Jibby is absolutely right. There's a lot of crassness. So if the child is one that can view such things and not pick it up and then repeat it, fine. But yeah, there's a lot of things. It's like I say, there was a difference back with Star Wars with that scoundrel. That scoundrel wasn't particularly crass in this way at all.
Not in this way.
And so he was rough around the edges. He was more violent. And then Princess Leia used things like scruffy looking Nerf herder. You said things like that.
Isn't that the equivalent of saying frack in Battlestar Galactica, though?
Well, to an extent, but
what was that line again?
Scruffy looking Nerf herder.
You know that line perfectly?
Who doesn't know that line perfectly?
Just you.
It's not in my arsenal that I can just pull out of my
Star Wars is definitely more family friendly.
Yeah. And I think some people were surprised because this is the first of the Marvel films to have this kind of edge to it. The other one, because, I mean, especially like Captain America, the one you just came off of, Captain America, is squeaky clean. Mm-hmm. I don't know the film itself. I don't know what kind of vulgarity surrounds Captain America, but he himself as a character is squeaky clean. And in this film, the main protagonist is not. He is.
But at least in this one.
He is a scoundrel, and he's an edgy scoundrel.
The one good thing it has going for it, though, compared to Star Wars, is the main character doesn't go and murder a room full of children at any point in this one. So that's good.
He was the bad guy.
In that family-friendly Star Wars movie.
He was the bad guy. It's okay for the villain to do mean things.
He's your main character.
Sometimes the main character is the bad guy. You know what Star Wars does have over this movie, to be fair? And pretty much every Avengers movie. Star Wars has a good villain.
I kept wanting
a pie.
I'll be interested to see how this film fits in with everything
Cushing
else.
Daisies?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, who was that?
Lee the Pace was the pie maker,
but
and he was Ronan.
He was Ronan.
I can't picture
the villain.
So it was funny because in the beginning,
one of the main villains that you deal with throughout
Ronan,
the film.
I can't picture him.
I wasn't aware that Lee Pace was in the movie.
Oh, how funny!
And so I saw the in the opening credits. You know, it's listed in the cast and it says Lee Pace. I'm like, oh, cool. He's a really good actor. I loved Pushing Daisies, and I'm waiting for Lee Pace to make an appearance.
Oh, how funny!
And so at the end of the movie, I was like, who did Lee Pace play? And
oh,
fanboy.
That's brilliant.
Was like, oh, it was Ronan. That's why I didn't recognize him.
I kept looking for Bradley Cooper.
Mm.
I kept looking for Vin Diesel.
I kept getting taken out of the film by, I want to wreck it.
Yeah, he's the same. There's no missing him.
I mean, every time that voice came out through the speakers, I was like, so, where's Felix?
A friend of mine on Facebook checked in and said that they were watching Bears, and their comment was, is it just me? Am I on drugs, or is this John C. Reilly talking about Bears?
Awesome.
Damn. So they made a Guardians of the Galaxy Lego set, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's a Star-Lord Lego figure. If you take the Star-Lord Lego figure and the Emmett Lego figure, do they annihilate each other, or what happens?
That's so
that's
awesome.
A little meta.
I am extremely excited for next year's Jurassic Park now.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris Pratt's a star.
Yes. I am so happy for him.
Judy Greer, she was Kitty on Arrested Development.
That's
You're
part
gonna
of
miss
the,
these.
That's part of the reason why I was so excited for this film was because
character.
Of Chris Pratt. I had adored him in Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did an episode of Top Chef with his I don't know if it's wife or fiance at the
he's
time.
Married to a woman.
Anna Faris. But I don't know if at the time.
Anna Faris?
And they were just and the they were so delightful on that show, and you know, and that's out of character, you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of him being him, and I just thought, oh, this guy's just, you know, seems like a fun guy. Mm-hmm. And then the Emmett character on you know, Lego, that was fun. And so just to
you
see
saw him in Moneyball.
Yeah, and I saw him in Moneyball, and then he got to drive the pace car for the recent NASCAR race when Guardians came out, and the smile on his face was just so awesome. And then when they were interviewing him, he was so excited to be there. He just sounded like he was having just the best time, just soaking it all in. And then when the film came out, he went on Facebook and said things like, you know, stick around for the not just for the tag, stick around for the credits, look at all the people who worked on this film. I am so incredibly grateful for all the is huge. The list of names in that film is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, it's just to see somebody who clearly is enjoying the ride makes it that much more fun.
Oh, Dave Smith has a credit in this film too. What was he, gaffer or something? He's in the credits.
So,
the watch artist, right?
Maybe. It could have been craft services too. I wasn't.
Could
really
have been the sculptor.
Could have been.
He does masks.
Oh, touche.
So if you go to watch the press conference footage, they have a story of Chris Pratt met the guy who plays Yondu, who is on The Walking Dead. And
yes.
I don't know his name, but yeah.
Who pretty much has that same personality in real life. Right. This is not acting for him, it would seem.
So I guess being two hicks, they hit it off, and Chris Pratt's like, oh, what, you know, why don't we go out to the range and go shooting? You know, we can get that sort of, you know, son, father-son kind of thing going
cute.
On. And he's like, Yondu, or whatever his name was, like, no, we're not doing that.
Father, who was it that told me that James Earl Jones and...
Me. I was the one who told you that.
Because I can't remember the detail.
It was that the story goes that James Earl Jones and Carrie Fisher did not meet until this episode that they did of Big Bang Theory.
Oh, wow.
And that her first words to him were, hi, Dad.
Mm.
That's awesome.
But because he was voice for the films, they had no reason
to encounter.
They never had any reason to encounter each other.
When they made Star Wars 1, like, James Earl Jones didn't want to be credited because he wanted it to be like a special effect kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. And then eventually the word got out, so I think like
just like Jessica Rabbit's voice.
That wasn't credited?
It's uncredited.
Yeah.
It does. If you watch the credits of Roger Rabbit, it does not say who voices Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, that's very clever. But as you would expect, Hasbro has released a lot of really cool toys. The Star-Lord character, it's like, what is that, an 11-inch? I think it's an 11-inch doll. And it has, like, he'll say stuff, or if you hold the button down, it makes laser noises, or if you hit it twice, you can jam.
Jam to an unlicensed generic song.
Well, it's funny. There was a
but
lot
it's
of
unmistakably 80s.
There was a lot of talk over whether or not the toy on his belt was actually authentic, because the fanboys, you know, that was released before the film, and so they were all like, "Oh, it's not really a. It doesn't say Sony on it. I wonder if it'll be a Sony Walkman in the movie, because it's a Sony. You know, so it's fun." My favorite conversation as we were leaving the theater was these two guys who were debating the effectiveness of the weaponry that the Star-Lord and the other ones had, and some device Rocket built, and would it really have worked like that, or maybe he should have done this or that. It was very much fun. I had not been around that type of level of geek in a very long time, and so
I don't get out of the line at Comic-Con very regularly.
I enjoyed it.
Their lineup for Hall H are ready for
next
year.
Exactly.
I enjoyed it immensely, because those were my friends in college. I myself never indulge in such conversations because it's not how my brain works, but I do get immense joy out of listening to others have those kind of conversations. So I was very pleased, and I gave Bamboy the look that said, "Don't talk, I'm eavesdropping on that conversation."
Not the way your brain works, despite what you have in your closet.
And then there was, I don't have anything in my closet. Nothing in my closet. I have a Battlestar Galactica sleeping bag on my bed. I have nothing in my closet.
Lent it to someone and never got it back.
Yes, it's because I do not have it anymore. And then they have a very nifty Nerf. They have a very nifty Nerf. I have a Starfleet. I used to have a Starfleet uniform.
Oh, okay.
They have a nifty Nerf weapon. Like, no, I did not have it. I did have the pattern to sew one, but I never got around to it. I stopped going to conventions by that point. And then if your kids are too young for the film, like ours, Gideon, you know, he's only 5. I'm not taking him to see Star-Lord. They actually have some really great Marvel Kids books out. The one that I enjoyed the most was, it's called Guardians of the Galaxy, Friends and Foes. And it's kind of a who's who. It takes you through the main characters and just kind of tells you a little bit about their story. Nothing too in-depth. But that way, you know, when he goes to Disneyland, if these characters are there or whatnot, he'll have some inkling as to who they are beyond just the advertising, you know, a little bit of their story.
Not
so
Disney
fun
World.
Stuff. No, I didn't say Disney World. I said Disneyland. So lots of fun.
Will they have a bobblehead Rocket Raccoon on top of whatever building they house walk around Star-Lord in?
We also have the Milano spaceship, but that one aggravated me. It had, like, 25 stickers to put on. I'm like, really? You can just paint the emblems on?
Nothing can be worse than the Batman Forever Batmobile, which could transform into 3 different things. It could be a plane, a boat,
seriously,
or a Batmobile, and none of them were effective. Like, we went through 3. My mom kept taking us back to Toys R Us
much
to return
like
it. Yeah, to return it and trade it in for another one, because we were so sure that these were just, like, this was a lemon car from the manufacturer, and that they had to work. One of these had to actually hold the pieces together.
But if I had a cubicle, I would have the rocket blast, the rocket raccoon that comes with the blasting gun, because that is just the best thing.
I have a cubicle. Well, I have an office.
Talk.
You will. Eventually.
No, you have to hit the leg.
Oh.
Right?
I've only ever used the, like, in-the-box demo version at Toy Story.
Oh, no, other way around.
If you're wondering what's going on here, 3 here adults are trying to figure out how to use a toy made for 4
Well, what happens is when you hit it, it fires, and then he says something.
You gotta be kidding me!
So,
he sounds
fun.
Like Bradley Cooper.
He's fun. And it's like the head bobbles, so is that gun, it's like a Gatling gun, and it just, the whole thing rattles. Hear it? Mm-hmm. I feel like Rustler Bob rustling papers. Remember, that used to be
We're
a
We're high atop the excellence in broadcasting tower here.
What's nice, though, is that all of these toys
Talent
have more...
Talent on loan from Groot.
All of these toys have more more motion and more point of articulation than Sigourney Weaver in The Great Movie Ride.
There you go.
Or most of her acting roles.
Ooh, she's a good actress.
Take that
back.
One.
Holes?
Never saw it.
Never saw Holes.
Heartbreakers.
Never saw it.
Her TV show, Political Animals.
Never saw it. I rest my case.
What else was she recently in?
Come on, Alien. You saw
I'm
that.
Not, Avatar. She was really good in Avatar.
I've not seen her in any
Alien.
Movies.
Okay,
so.
Alien, she was just a blue thing.
She was not just a... Oh, Avatar. Avatar. She was...
Avatar and Alien are not the
she
same
was. She was a face in Avatar 2. And hey, she was the motion capture performance behind that blue thing.
Has anything
you know
else happened?
Who gets too much credit? Mocap performers. Except for Andy Serkis.
Okay. I don't know. Jim Carrey played everybody in A Christmas Carol, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh.
No, there are a lot of things to be said about that film. Very good. It's...
I can still remember that experience.
I like that.
We saw it in IMAX, right? IMAX 3D, as I recall.
Yes.
Oh, that was a waste.
Point
of
Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, I got a little Marvel toy of my own this week.
What'd you get?
I got Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1 Declassified.
Oh, which you were nice enough to let me borrow.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot more fun than I thought that book would be.
That book is so awesome.
It makes you, I want to rewatch all the episodes with the book in front of me. And
The Blu-ray is coming.
And they tease a lot about season 2 in there. They're like what the flower dress means.
Exactly.
What they keep saying, gee, this get like some throwaway line I never realized. Like this get mentioned a lot, and you go like, oh, maybe that's something, and I didn't know.
It was a fun read. That's another one of those things where I enjoyed the show, but reading more about Clark Gregg, now I absolutely adore the show, because that is another person who is really, I like it when people like their job, excel at their job, and let you enjoy the ride, and that's what he's doing.
The Clark Gregg story is amazing. Just neighbors to Jon Favreau, they have a part called Agent Number 3 or something like that in the movie. He goes there. They expand the role a little bit. He gets to say S.H.I.E.L.D., which is kind of cool. Okay. Oh, you know what? We're going to make Thor and Iron Man 2. We'll throw you in there, too. Then we're going to kill you. But you're going to be so popular that people around the world are going to create this movement. I mean, I go to a lot of Disney events and Comic Cons and things like that. I regret not having gone to the New York Comic Con where they announced that, you know, hashtag Coulson lives.
Yeah.
Because that must have been
insane.
Crazy.
I can't even imagine.
Off the chain.
Reading about it in the book was so very cool. It was really, they did a good job of capturing that energy as best you can, you know, in the pages of a book. But the photographs are gorgeous. It's like, it's in essence an annotated episode guide. So it offers you a little bit about the episode, some key phrases maybe that were in the episode, kind of like, and this is the point where, you know, this happened, that moment in the episode, how the story was being advanced in that episode. And then it does behind the scenes, like you learn how the crew cheered for Ming-Na when she was doing the scene where she runs on top of the trains in one of the final, because she's terrified of heights. And so that was a real battle for her. And so how the crew kind of all gathered around to cheer her on and provide her support, or how the actor, whose name is not in my head, Agent Ward.
Oh,
how he reacted when he reacted and learned about the story arc of his character that's so, you know, integral to where that story is now. It was so fun. I devoured it.
It's a cool, you know, because when we as a viewer of the show, you see, we started with the pilot, then we went through it, and you know, we saw it a certain way. It was, and then Captain America happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole world changes, and quite frankly, then the whole show made sense. And,
exactly.
But to go from to hear from the producers being like, "Okay, you're gonna make a show, but midway through your first season, you're gonna be agents of nothing,
exactly.
And you can't mention Hydra, you can't spoil the movie, you can't do anything." And
you in essence have to create red herrings, right, that lead to red herrings so that people don't figure out what's going on, because that would be a major downer for the, that would impact their box off, you know, the film. So it just really, it was really fascinating. I think my favorite part of the book, though, was learning about Comic-Con and how they had been filming this show. It's been a while, I think, since a comic book has really successfully, you know, been brought to the screen. You had Smallville for a while, but then CW tried a few spinoffs, and none of them, you know, really took off.
Mm-hmm.
So here comes Marvel, and they want to bring Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and these guys have been working and filming all these shows, and they go to Comic-Con, and they screen the whole episode, the whole first episode. And that just, I'm trying to envision what that would be like. You know, you guys are working on it, you know you're going to be working on it, whether, you know, and now you release it to the most rabid, most, I don't want to say finicky, but educated. I mean, there's a certain expectation they're going to have for your product that maybe the general public you don't have to appeal to in the same way. And you release it to them. So I'm just envisioning the lights going down and them waiting to kind of see what their response is. And then it was, you know, just embraced, you know, and
I was there.
That must have been incredible.
Because it was, I remember having to sit through the Legend of Korra panel to get through it. And Bones.
What?
And
hey, not sitting through Bones, enjoying Bones.
Well, apparently Bones decided to go to the Universal Tram Tour because they showed a clip and I'm like, they're an earthquake.
Yep, they did.
So do you see that episode?
I have it on my I have it DVR.
Is that supposed to be taken seriously or is it very tongue in cheek? Because if I saw that, I would have been like,
okay, it's a very serious episode, and that moment is very serious. But as somebody who'd been on the tram tour, no, I did not take it seriously.
So they come out and Jeff Loeb is wearing like a jacket, like a black t-shirt and a jacket. And he's like, so, you know, just want to check in. Is it hot in here? And he turns around, takes off his jacket, and the back of his shirt says Coulson Lives. And the whole thing goes, yeah. And, you know, they bring out the cast one by one and they end out with Clark Gregg. I've never been to the Vatican while the Pope is doing something,
yeah.
But that's as close as I think I'm ever going to get.
It's actually probably not as big of a cheer.
It was, I mean, it wasn't even just the loudness of the cheer, it was the motion behind the cheer. And then the emotion
the adoration.
Coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Clark Gregg was out in tears and mm-hmm. like bowing down to the fans and, you know, he's like, you made this happen, you know, and then to show the episode. And it's funny because, like, I saw the episode there and I'm like, I love this show. And then it showed on ABC a couple months later and I was like, oh, I mean, it was a good episode, but it's not quite as much fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I saw the pilot at D23, and I mean, it wasn't probably as boisterous of a crowd as
right.
it was at Comic-Con, but they were still, like, cheering at the right moments and laughing together. And then we saw another episode at Paley Fest that was, like, I think a week before it was going to air.
Yeah,
and that was
that
the
was
same
the,
kind of reaction. It was just so much cooler to watch it with
that
crowd.
It was the one
crowd.
Before Captain America takes place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was cool in its own little way, because then they did a Q&A, which was being live-streamed.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, don't ask questions about the episode you just saw. But of course, I mean, that talk about the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
But it was, I mean, the level of fandom for them all, too. I mean, Ming-Na was, I mean, I fell in love with her 10 times more seeing her talk at that panel.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, people would raise their hand to ask questions because it wasn't like you lined up in an aisle or anything. And then half of them were just gifting them stuff. Like, they raised their hand because they had a gift. Yeah, that was.
Oh, that's awesome.
But what was the one? Oh, it was like they had bears, like Build-A-Bears, but they had dressed them up as
that's adorable.
The, like, cast of
uh-huh.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was neat.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah.
It must have been so hard for them talking, knowing what they knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
I think they
were filming the season finale at
mm-hmm.
that time. And talking about, you know, they're like, so, do you see a future between Ward
and Ward.
Well, most of the questions, here, everybody really wants, at least at Paley Fest, they wanted, what's their names? The scientists.
Fitzsimmons.
They want them hooking up.
Fitzsimmons.
Like, initially.
Yeah.
So
adorable.
Some interesting Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news as I vamp.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Kyle MacLachlan?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I guess he's playing Skye's father.
Who's Kyle MacLachlan?
He was in Desperate Housewives. He was Bree's second husband, right?
Oh, okay. The really kind of creepy eyes.
Yeah,
guy. He was on Revenge.
I
as the
think
writer?
He's on. No, 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 not
no.
him.
Okay.
So it's not the second husband.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
no,
man.
No, he was on Twin Peaks. He's
yeah.
I didn't see Twin
he's
Peaks.
In, he's on so many things. No, Kyle MacLachlan. Yeah, what... Do you remember... Do you
damn
remember,
good coffee.
Do you remember what character he was on Desperate Housewives? Because that's what I knew him from when I saw his picture. Because he's coming to, yeah. Yeah, so maybe it was her first husband.
I'm just going to
no,
Google.
No, it's her second. The other two didn't get married. It was the first husband was the guy who died in season one. He was into weird things.
Right, okay.
That wasn't him.
And then this is the one who ended up in a wheelchair.
Right.
Yeah. The husband who ended up in a wheelchair.
Wow.
I watched
all of Desperate Housewives. And oh, he was in Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. That's all you needed to say.
Oh, sorry. By the way, have you seen that one of those two actresses is blaming Disney for the fact that there hasn't been a sequel?
Really?
Yeah, they say that they have stuff ready and whatnot, but Disney's dragging their feet on it, blah, blah, blah.
They ought to make that movie. I would
pay
big bucks.
And everybody else, apparently. It's a film I never got.
Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Oh, yeah.
That was another movie I saw way too young and grew up on.
So
that
we
one.
Don't know if he's the dripping guy or what the deal is. Cause
it'll be interesting, yeah. I just saw the headline that he was coming to the show. I didn't see in what capacity.
And some guy from NYPD Blue and Ravenswood, who I've never heard of.
Dennis Franz?
No.
Ravenwood. It was a
Ravenwood.
WB show.
No, ABC Family.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I had to see way too many commercials for it.
Yeah, he's playing somebody else. They've made that casting announcement today.
Okay.
Cool.
You know what we've really lacked this off season?
Disney.
Once Upon a Time news.
Breaking news today.
Sarcasm.
No. Oh.
What was today's breaking news?
The storyline takes place after the events of the movie of Frozen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that Kristoff and Anna are getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And they are registered at Oaken's Trading Post.
Hello. Big summer blowout.
Oh, okay.
And the reindeer deer does make a cameo. I saw a picture.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we put
Sven.
Those
I saw a picture of Sven.
Credential by ABC. Yeah, it's nice.
We made it.
Oh, that's nice.
Disney Channel.
Someday.
Disney
Channel. Well, yeah.
Actually, I've watched more Disney Channel this month, I think, than I ever have because of Girl Meets World and the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars.
Oh, that was good.
That
the
really
Phineas
good.
And Ferb.
Yeah, Orange is the New Black on Disney Channel.
The Phineas and Ferb Star Wars mashup was nice.
Yeah, that was great.
Really
was
great job.
I ended up seeing it three times, but I didn't mind because it was awesome.
A question. What
yes.
do you feel about Gravity Falls?
I'm
waiting
love it.
For it to come back. It's not back yet, right?
It is.
It premiered this last weekend.
Oh, okay, I just missed it then.
Yeah.
I love
XD
that show.
Now.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that show. It's very quirky and strange,
mm-hmm.
and I like it. But what I really love is 7D, I have to admit.
Mm-hmm.
I love that stupid show.
I haven't checked out 7D yet, but what I think one of the reasons I really love Gravity Falls is Kristen Schaal, and I've come to find that I love pretty much everything she does.
Awesome, awesome.
What has she done?
Toy Story 3, what's it called? It was an HBO show, Flight of the Conchords. That was one of the first things I ever saw her in. And then there's other movies like You Again? No, it was When in Rome. It wasn't a good movie, but she was like,
movies are different.
She was the only good scene.
You shake your head, but today you educated me on Nicholas Sparks.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Was it A Walk to Remember? That's the one he saw.
I saw Last Song.
We saw Last Song to support Disney.
I saw Night to Remember, which is totally different.
Yeah,
the Last Song was on TV the other day. I couldn't bring myself to watch
it. It's not good.
No, they're all the same.
Oh, are
the
they?
A Walk to Remember was at least watchable.
Someone falls in love and then someone dies.
Oh, okay.
See, it's hard to not enjoy Mandy Moore in A Walk to Remember, but it's very easy to Miley Cyrus in the last one.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring his brother away.
Maybe. Yeah.
Save him.
See,
from
I kept waiting for Katniss to come out of the woods and tell him they need to go. The uprising.
So why
happening.
Were you asking about Gravity Falls? Just
because the second season premiered and
yeah, I missed it.
Because Phineas and Ferb seems to be
waning.
Scaling back.
Yeah.
Gravity Falls seems to be waxing.
Well, the creators of Phineas and Ferb deny that it's over, but it's been confirmed that there are no. They're out of production. The
right.
team
oh, really?
The team has been dissolved. None of the animators were kept. The voice cast is out of contract.
The show is not like they're putting it. They're premiering episodes in like the daytime and stuff. Just generally, times they don't.
Do you think that they'll be like? I always thought maybe they should be more. I don't know, seasonal. Like they should do like this Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
Do a few of those a year, as opposed to kind of episodic. Show now. I mean,
like
initially before,
kind of stuff,
yeah. Initially, they were really, really hot.
I hope
and cool,
so.
But
I mean, I
don't
like
see
Gravity
go
Falls,
away.
But I like Phineas and Ferb more.
Yeah.
I just like
because of Danville.
I just like the optimism in it. Not that there's not optimism in Gravity Falls, but you have these two brothers. Nothing phases them.
Right.
And I just think that's good for kids and, quite frankly, anybody to kind of just see people who are willing to just take the bull by the horns and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which, on my Adventure by Disney Cruise, I learned the origin of that phrase.
The hard way.
I just really hope that the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars characters make their way into the next Star Wars weekend, since they have that meet and greet that's like already in the middle of Star Wars weekend, and so you can just have Phineas and Ferb in Jedi robes. And
that is a great idea.
Yeah. It would be fun. It would be fun. I hope so. But I enjoyed. I was impressed with the. It was more enjoyable than I expected. It was more enjoyable than I expected to be. It took a little bit of a different take than I expected it to take. So I had a good time.
It was nice because it wasn't Phineas and Ferb as Luke and
exactly.
Yeah, that's what I expected. Yeah.
They did it different. But speaking of Star Wars, so they had earnings on Tuesday,
right?
And record-breaking earnings. In fact, Disney earnings per share in the first three quarters broke the total year of any previous year.
Goodness.
So,
I'll just wait till 2015.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So there was a couple interesting things. One is Bob Iger announced that they will announce the increased Star Wars presence in the park.
But it was previously announced.
Yeah, they announced it. Yeah, now we know a date. We can stop waking up every morning like I do, making sure that they didn't announce it so I don't have to put it up on the site. Then they talked about how My Magic Plus is going to contribute to the bottom line starting this quarter.
Did they say positively or negatively?
Positively.
Okay. And it's all because of the limited edition Frozen Magic Bands.
Well, it's funny because they asked him how, and he was like, the only thing we'll talk about is PhotoPass.
Hmm.
And then, which implies, because here's what I think really is doing it. I think, you know, they've added all these, like, Epcot wind down, premium viewing things. I think they're throwing all of that into My Magic Plus and then saying.
But on the PhotoPass topic, so we took just maybe four or five PhotoPass photos during our trip. And within the past 2 weeks, I've been getting an email every other day letting me know, like, scare tacting me, that my photos are about to expire. This is my last opportunity ever to buy these, and I better act now. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if, because they never did that before. Like, when you'd get your card and you'd register it and you put your photos up, I think they'd send you one courtesy, like, this is your 10-day warning, your photos are going away, and that was it. Now it's like every other day. And even that, like, you know, they don't give you the time frame that it's ending. And so it's like, oh no, it's ambiguous. I better go buy them if I really want them. Or screenshot them.
I wonder if they're using a different clearinghouse, because the same thing happened with Run Disney. It changed at some point in my Run Disney career. The type of emails I got regarding my photos changed the tone of your photos are going away.
The first question was the annual or quarterly stupid question of the call, where an analyst asked Bob Iger. Based on the success Universal has had with Harry Potter, has Disney considered buying popular characters and franchises to bring them into the parks? And we heard Bob pause, and you could hear him kind of mentally say, "You freaking idiot," and say, "He's like, well, you know, in a parks except Avatar, all of our attractions are based on our franchises, and we have Star Wars and Marvel."
Ouch. So,
lots of Pixar.
And then one analyst asked about Movie Beam. And so, for those of you who don't remember, Movie Beam was a box that Disney was selling, and you would put it, it would download movies and you could watch them, kind of like, and pay for them and watch them. And you did it over the air through, like the same way you get TV reception. And not very successful, it didn't last very long. And so, someone else says, so I hear you're trying to sell movies direct to consumer. Is this similar to Movie Beam? And Bob Iger said, wow, I think you're one of the few people that remember Movie Beam.
That's cool.
Interesting.
But so here's the other thing. So they stopped issuing fast passes for Maelstrom.
And they put out a t-shirt.
and so...
No, not only did they put out a t-shirt, they put out a t-shirt which they're selling on the Disney store as limited availability. That's
I bought
what
it.
That's what I loved about it. Limited availability.
I didn't buy it because it was limited. I bought it because of the glow-in-the-dark eye.
I'm sorry. That just reminds me of those people who put stuff on eBay, put hard to find, rare. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, okay, if you don't know to go to, you know, Main Street.
I just wanted a picture. I didn't have anything from my favorite part of the experience.
Well,
the movie?
The entrance.
It needs a picture of people walking through a movie theater.
We should create maybe a limited availability t-shirt.
You should become a T-Fury artist.
Exactly,
and this will
a
be
T-Fury
your first,
artist, and there you go.
Your first
that,
item.
That would dominate.
What?
T-Fury.
It's one of those T-shirt of the day ones, but they do really awesome. Like, just last week they had, I almost bought it, I wish I did, it was Lilo riding her bike over the moon with Stitch in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of, like, mashup.
Like an E.T. mashup.
Nods.
I
cool
visit
stuff.
It frequently.
Or like one of them, it's Ariel about to enter the TARDIS, and it's called Part of Every World.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. What do you mean T-shirt of the day?
So they have a new artwork every day, and it's limited. It's available for a limited time. Sometimes their shirts...
super cheap.
Yeah, they're really like $10.
Yeah.
Sometimes their shirts are available for like a longer window, but other times it's like it's literally available today only. Buy it. We'll print however many we sell and ship them off.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the age of the internet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So we
were talking. Oh, so Maelstrom.
Yeah.
So it's funny because, like, so I was like, wow, maybe he'll announce Frozen. Coming.
Yeah.
And so then I'm watching CNBC and they're like, we have a Maelstrom of earnings tonight. And I'm like, that is bizarre because Maelstrom's not a word that comes up.
Right. That's
most
awesome.
People. And so it was very, I mean, he didn't end up mentioning Frozen or Maelstrom at all. Well, I mentioned Frozen a lot. But it was just funny to hear.
But it's pretty well a foregone conclusion within the internet community of Disney fandom that Frozen is coming.
The internet seems
Mr. Lincoln. Yes.
The internet seems certain.
Oh, awesome.
The internet seems certain that Maelstrom is going away. Because another thing to perpetuate that rumor is that on the FastPass Plus booking, it's unavailable after a certain date in September.
Okay.
Like it's just completely wiped out as an option.
It's not available in FY15.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Either they messed up. Or it's going under rehab, or
again.
It's closing.
Right. Interesting.
Which might be a record-setting design to construction for Disney ever.
Although I'm curious.
What do you think they could... I mean, it's a water ride currently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious.
The heart of Arendelle has always been and will always be
that would
ice.
Be so Simpsons of them, and I would
we
love
should,
it.
Oh, man.
We should make that YouTube mock-up.
I was going to say, I wish I knew Lang, Jeff. I wish I could bug Jeff to do that. That'd be funny. I'll be like, hey, Lang. That would be awesome.
The trolls would just turn into marshmallow.
This is troll country. Back over the falls.
They just put some antlers on the polar bear.
Yeah.
Becomes Sven.
Polar bears are better than people.
And,
no, so I'm, well, I'm curious if Maelstrom's actually leaving.
That's where they should put the meeting
group. Or if they're just doing such heavy construction back in that courtyard that it'll be such a headache to keep Maelstrom open during construction. Because they could alter some of the shops and put a path back behind and still keep it if they wanted to.
Doesn't Maelstrom fall into the same kind of Snow White Scary Adventures category? Where it's not so exciting that it's a thrill ride, but it's too exciting that it's not truly family friendly.
See, I never felt that way because I wrote it as a kid. It was like one of the few ways my parents could coax me back to World Showcase. And then my younger brother loved it from like age 3, like as soon as he was tall enough to sit in between adults on it, it was one of his favorite rides.
Okay.
Quick question: did they use Alien to get you over to the movie ride?
No, they used Oz.
Okay.
This is. I think Snow White's biggest problem was it looked like a kiddie ride.
Well, yeah.
And it wasn't. Whereas Maelstrom, that they advertise that there's some adventure in it. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there is genuine love.
Like I say,
Maelstrom.
I just it always struck me as one of those rides where it wasn't thrilling enough to be a thrill ride. So people who got in line thinking "woohoo, thrill ride" were like, "eh, whatever, that was okay." And then people who thought, "oh, it's a slow moving boat ride through Norway," got off going, "well, that was a bit more than I wanted," you know.
Speaking
and so I just wasn't
though,
sure.
So like, I mean, it's, you know, some of the thought is that this is just an overlay of Frozen onto the pre-existing, you know, same flume, same
right.
show building. Of Maelstrom, but is Maelstrom, does it even have a high enough turnover to meet that demand, or will this, if they did that, would all of Norway be extended queue? And
it's a boat ride. I mean, it'll be. I mean, it's fairly efficient. Because
it's not a long attraction. I mean, it's not like Pirates where you get enough boats in there and people are experiencing this for 5 minutes.
The length of the ride doesn't affect capacity.
Okay.
Only the number of people you can get on. I mean, the length of the ride makes people happy, but
that's not important.
There's a difference though, and this is as far as I can tell, it's the first time where they would. I mean, how are they going to do it? So it's still the Norway Pavilion, but with a Frozen ride. Because, like, even, you know, Grand Fiesta Tour, they're going through Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. And,
you know, well, the thing
Frozen
is,
doesn't, is it, guess, Arendelle visits Norway? What, how do they keep
Frozen
it?
Fans aren't going to want a Grand Fiesta Tour-esque, you know, this is us going through Norway. They want Arendelle. They want these characters in their element. They want.
Does it matter?
Right. You know. Well, but I mean,
no, it does.
Norway.
Disney care that much?
No. Well, it matters Norway to the cares. Mission. It matters to the mission statement of World Showcase.
Right. So does it matter?
But Norway as a country still sponsors the land, right?
Perhaps.
No. Because countries don't. Only country that ever sponsored the land was
Morocco.
Because there's countries can only sponsor exhibits if they're temporary.
Like
a World's Fair, they can't do, and just the King of Morocco said, "I don't care." Norway was sponsored at a time, not today.
Okay,
it was sponsored by like Norway's Tourism Board, mm-hmm. which was the different, you know, like the.
I think that's what it was, because I was reading something that some other site posted on Facebook, and it was about how.
I don't think that's inaccurate.
Okay.
They.
Did you hear this story? Okay. That there was I don't know which site, a friend of mine shared it on Facebook, that they read that there was talk that the sponsor of the Norway Pavilion was behind on payments and that Disney was pretty much saying, hey, we can just Frozen it if you don't want to, you know, pay up.
But I think it's, I mean, because especially if you're going to talk about, you know, the cultural representatives and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
if it's.
No, you're right. Arendelle's not a real place, right? I mean, or is the assumption that that's some place in Norway we just don't know about?
Is that where they go with it? That's fine. They don't have to take a lot of work to get it there. You know, it doesn't. It's fine to have Frozen is so inspired by Norway.
Yeah,
it's
clearly,
right? Churches
that you know, if it's they announce that Arendelle is a kingdom within Norway, you know, or something like that, or we learn. There's ways they could do it. I'm not an Imagineer. I'm not going to pretend.
Right? No, I understand
answer,
that,
but. It's not like if they built it at the Magic Kingdom where they can just say, okay, we're going on a Frozen adventure.
Right.
Without, you know,
changing the mission state. In essence.
Because the whole reason they can have people from Norway there is they're saying it's a cultural representative of the country.
Mm-hmm. You
know, I mean, that's the reason they can get around the visa stuff. And
I'm just excited for the Helly Hansen, Olaf Oakentraden post.
But as long as it's the still representing.
Perfume. Yes.
Considering that tourism and travel is up in Norway because of Frozen,
right.
And Frozen does so profoundly reflect Norwegian culture, does it matter? I mean, as long as you're learning about Norwegian culture, does it matter the framework in which it's provided?
No, but I think they need to make sure that they're highlighting the Norwegian culture in the film. If it's Elsa in her ice castle for 5.5 minutes or whatever, however long the attraction is, that's different.
Right.
And then maybe that's where the film comes in. You know, maybe the movie, if they, you know, movie talks about the Frozen inspiration, you know,
mm-hmm.
how Frozen was inspired by Norway. Maybe
but
that's
is that,
the answer.
Is that what people want?
Who cares what they want? I mean, that's...
They'll take whatever... Right. I mean, it strikes me right now as they take... Have you seen the people that are out there as Elsa and Anna?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, have you seen... Do you see... Do you see the Annas and Elsas that are out there that people are paying good money for?
At Barnes & Noble, no.
Yeah, two-hour line to see the most miserable-looking Elsa ever.
I still say that's how D23 could kick up their fanniversary attendance. Just say, come meet Anna and Elsa.
Or at least a three-dimensional cutout of Olaf.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be amazing.
We've got Hula Olaf for you to...
They have really cute plush Olaf at Kohl's.
Mm.
They're about 3 foot tall. They're really adorable.
Yeah, like one.
Probably.
Because Cole is hot.
Well, it's cute because it's on sale, and I just thought it was funny. I went to Target, and, like, all the Frozen shelves were empty, and then I went to Kohl's, and there was all this Frozen stuff like blankets, and it was all on sale, you know, discounted, like, hey. And truly discounted. I know sometimes they have, like, the you know, MSRP. Oh, hey, we have it on sale. No, you just, you know, have it normal price. So, yeah, but I don't know.
And then have you heard about the other weird things they're doing at the theme parks? They've got
the Adventureland thing.
Frontierland thing. What's it called? And then the Adventureland Trading Company, which I hear is better than the Frontierland one, because the Frontierland one is obviously not lasting very long because it's closing in, like, 2 weeks.
Are these both at Disneyland?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
the Adventureland one, a lot of my friends have been sharing Facebook images, and they seem to be having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. At the end of it, I haven't noticed the Disney. Ball?
You buy stuff. You pay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you pay like $5 per token, I think.
You go.
This is the token.
The Juju thing.
Yeah, they were
announced. And now you can take some oath dedicated to the pineapple.
Jojo, not Juju.
No.
Oh,
it's
Juju.
Juju.
Y'all want some?
But
candy?
I guess the Frontierland one was just too confusing for people because.
Oh, okay.
That one's not.
I noticed. I'm.
So they got rid of the billies for nothing.
So I noticed
bring
not
them
as many.
Back.
They're a little busy right now,
yeah,
man.
Now they're going back. They're just going to go DCA.
They're doing fine at Knott's Berry Farm.
They can have some fun with Halloween Hot.
They're having some fun at Knott's Berry Farm.
I bet they are. That's a perfect venue for
them.
Really, Western themed Knott's Berry Farm, perfect for Billy Hill.
They seem to be having seem to be having a great time there, based on their Facebook page. New. Well,
they changed their name though, or are they legally required to change?
Crazy
their name?
Kirk.
Crazy Kirk and the Kirk.
No,
crazy
and the Hillbillies. They're still
Hillbillies.
Yeah, Hillbillies is okay. I got asked the other day, "What is TM, Gideon?" On a shirt he saw. Yeah. TM, what's that mean? Okay, so we had a discussion over what is a trademark.
That's awesome.
Yes, it was pretty fun.
Did you contrast with the service mark and a copyright?
And register.
Of Wonder Brothers, Inc.
I tried.
So oh, but Dumb Foundation.
I can't believe you guys haven't seen 7D. You need to see 7D so we can talk about it.
I know,
Goofball.
I don't know why. It's not.
They had another new episode this week.
I put it up on the site that they had a new episode.
Yeah, it was better than their other ones are.
It's on at 10 in the morning.
7:30.
This is not a problem.
The time anything is on is no longer an issue for anybody ever.
Oh, okay.
So but it's one thing when you turn on, because Disney Channel is the ultimate. I'm just going to turn something
iPad
on.
We have a DVR.
Yeah, I know I can
and watch
it.
Disney
XD. It's just not up front and in my face, so I remember
watch
it.
Disney. You should watch Sneeze in Season. That got a really good, that one I think is the better of all of them. And then the one that they just had on, which I can't remember the name of.
I was disappointed they didn't show it on the beautiful Disney, Reimagined Disney Magic.
Fanboy, part of the reason we've been gone forever is Fanboy had a glorious 2-week vacation through Europe, as chronicled on The Laughing Place.
You didn't finish it though.
I didn't, because I came back and I was.
Because I was waiting. I was waiting to read all about Santorini.
I still have the stuff. I'm gonna do it.
So. I don't care about the trip. Tell me about the Reimagined Disney Magic.
Yeah, what'd you think?
The Reimagined Disney Magic.
That tiny ship.
Is a beautiful, beautiful ship. The Aquadunk might be better than the Aqueduct.
Cool.
I'd have to go back on the Aqueduct to
compare.
Duck versus dunk.
The weird things that are missing is on-demand television.
Oh, they don't have that?
No.
Huh.
They blamed it on the wiring.
Gotcha.
Although it's interesting for the crew, because often the crew would say, you know, you'd be like, yeah, they ran out of time. And they're like, oh, yeah, it was delayed for the weather. They're like, yeah, I'm still trying to figure out why the sun would delay, because it was sunny the whole time we were in dry dock. So that was the – but those were, I think, quite frankly, the only disappointments. The rooms are amazing.
You are Stephen A. Smithing it so much today.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
You have no
so
idea.
So I'm going to protect her.
I was going to say.
Stephen A. Smith, they announced today he's getting a new radio show, national radio show.
That's what they do. Oh, welcome back from suspension. Have a radio show.
Sponsored by ESPNW.
Dude. And his first guest will be Michelle Beadle.
Oh, that would be some rating. Oh, man.
So, never since Chris Everett has that.
Jude, even Raisha candidate, who's no longer with ESPN, she had some choice words. I mean, they were polite, but yeah.
In any case.
Well, sorry, you were talking about the beautiful
Disney
Magic.
Okay, so things I love that I don't think get enough attention.
Okay.
One is they redid that walkway to the theater with the stores on either side,
mm-hmm.
and it's much, much more classier.
Hanging out with Captain Tom again.
It's just
very cool.
It is. They opened up the wall to reveal the portholes that were apparently always behind there, and so it added some natural light to it. It doesn't have those sort of emporium type window displays, which were okay, but they weren't as elegant to walking up to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I like Carioca's. I wasn't sure if I was because
that's the restaurant that replaced Parrot
Key,
which
Parrot
I did not like at all. Parrot Key.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else I would have. My problem was I didn't like what they Royal Garden or whatever they replaced it with.
Yeah, Enchanted Garden. You didn't like that?
No.
Oh,
so
okay.
I just thought it was. There was nothing special about it, but Carioca's is very crisp and modern.
Okay.
And I like that. The menu actually surprised me because the menu, like, I looked at it and I said, but then when I ate it,
oh, good.
Cabanas is nice that they have include more indoor seating.
De buffet.
Oh, that is nice.
De buffet.
On the Lido deck.
No, that's if you're going on the cheap ship. Disney Magic does not have a Lido deck.
What's a Lido deck?
That's a carnival thing.
I had to look it up. It just means it's an outdoor deck.
Yes, but that's like a car. That's like
they mentioned that in WALL-E.
But that is like the generic. But that is like the generic.
If you read like Cruise Critic, every review they talk about what it's like on the Lido deck.
There must be some cool explanation why it's called the Lido deck.
But it just reminds me of carnival. Yes. I totally associate it with carnival.
To it as the Lido deck.
And so it's. It definitely feels like a new ship. I was worried about O'Gills because I love Diversions. It's basically just Diversions of new decor, so they didn't ruin it.
I meant to tell you to bring me back an O'Gills shirt. That's one of my pet peeves that I've never bought one on a ship. I can just buy it from DisneyStore.com, but they, I always forget to buy one when I'm on ship.
It's a beautiful ship, and it's...
How's the Promenade Cafe?
Still there. Didn't touch that at all. Only new carpet, but that was nice. And the new internet was... Nice. It was very good that I didn't have to pay per minute because, man, did it not work.
Okay.
I don't know if it's because I was in the Mediterranean and the satellites might not be as strong as they are over the Caribbean, but the ship is amazing. The only thing I wish they really redid were the shows. Shows needed.
You don't want to mess up Villains Tonight.
Yes, I do.
Oh, really? You still had that?
I had Villains to the three. So we had the Welcome Aboard show. Fine.
Right, whatever. Whatever.
Villains Tonight, Twice Charmed, Disney Dreams, Enchanted Classic. That was good. Then they had Once Upon a Song, which is like the singers of the Disney Magic sing Disney songs.
On the record?
I was going to say, so it sounds like On the Record.
Exactly.
Which is
special,
nice.
But it's nice.
So you get to hear Let It Go.
No, we didn't actually.
But, well.
Not on that night. And then there's a show called Walt Disney, The Dream Goes On, which is the most disappointing. Because you think Walt Disney. How can I ruin a Walt Disney retrospective show?
Right.
Well, what you do is you take all those shows that have been released in the last 20 years, just chop them up in a hot dog of a show, and put Walt Disney's face on it. It was terrible.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's nice because you can play a little, that's from Steps in Time. Oh, this is from that.
Right.
But it's just... They have this, like, and then the songwriters decided to say, create the song for Baroness, Jungle Book. And then they start singing, Ooby-Doo, I Want to Be Like You.
Yeah.
But they're all wearing, like, mod 60s fur coats and things like that with pimp hats. And you're going, I know Bob and Dick, and I mean, where they're during the 60s, they never did that.
Oh, you don't believe Richard Sherman ever put on a pimp hat?
Yeah.
You got another thing coming, buddy.
That's fun.
It was, those are, and then
is that a good title, Richard Sherman's pimp hat?
No, because people will think we're talking about the NFL guy. It'll be all confusing.
Michael Richards came up right behind in the dream coat with his cane.
Damn. And then we had a Broadway Disney theatrical performance with one of the people that performed Ursula on Broadway.
Oh, very nice.
Was it Sherry Renee Scott?
No, it was the second one.
What was her name? Patti LuPone? No, it wasn't Patti LuPone. It was the one from Orlando.
No,
it
was a big deal. The third one.
Oh, that was the third one?
She was in a show called, and a title of show. It was a big deal, okay. According to her.
Hmm.
I'm not a theater guy. But it's funny because, you know, she sings, she starts with, like, When You Wish Upon a Star or something to that effect.
Right.
Then goes into Baby Mine.
Okay.
And then she did the scratch track for the Little Mother Gothel.
Oh, okay.
So she sang Mother Knows Best. Nice.
That's exhibition. A great song.
Baby Mine.
That's a great song.
And then sang something from Pocahontas, I think. Where
yeah, hey, Waka Waka.
And then did some songs from shows she's been in that weren't Disney. And then she sang Poor Unfortunate Souls and Good Times Back from the Little Mermaid Prodigal musical. And sang a bunch. I guess she sang a lot of Liza Minnelli songs because she did a Liza Minnelli review or something.
Just like Mama used to do.
And then so she goes off the stage. So she goes off stage. And she mentions that she's working on a Freaky Friday musical at Disney.
Oh, really?
Well, very nice.
Do we know this?
I don't know.
I'd like to be you.
Yeah, I didn't know. So I like. Giddy she just kind of was like, "Yeah, I work with Disney." So I was like, "Well, what do you do?" Oh, you know, they're working on this Freaky Friday musical. I'm working on.
That would be awesome.
Then she goes off stage and I was like, "Yeah." And then she comes out and she's like, "Okay, I had an encore prepared," and.
Oh, then she sings "Let It Go."
Yeah.
Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
Did she sing it right?
She did a nice Q&A, though, like, the next day, which was nice to see. Like, because there were a lot of...
Oh, that's cool. Where'd she do it?
The Buena Vista Theater. Center aisle, I know.
Oops, sorry.
How's it going? I'm sorry.
No. So, it's just weird, because when you do one of these sort of European cruises, you're not on the... Even though it's a 12-day cruise, you're not on the ship all that much. I mean, we were out early... Come in late. The seating times were later. Like, our dinner was not until 8:45 because all the board time wasn't until 6:45 most nights. So, I mean, we had our sea days, won some Disney trivia.
What was, like, the hardest, what were some of the weirdest questions where you're like, huh?
In ABC's Lost, when was the incident?
Oh, wow.
Not easy.
That is impressive.
1977. I didn't know that. I learned that because I got it wrong.
That is impressive. Okay, cool.
So, we have Disney fans that listen to this podcast, so I'm going to go on my little soapbox about Disney fans.
Ta-da!
You are.
Four score.
I play Disney trivia a lot, because it's fun on the ship. But when I play, I usually don't keep the prize if I win, because I don't... Because
you have 12.
Right. Unless it's a coffee cup, and what's a kid going to do with it?
Well, and if there's like a kid...
I kept my coffee cup.
If there's a kid who like is really into it, I want to encourage them and be like, "You can do it, kid." You know, but
okay, Mike Trout.
Boy, you're so magnanimous. Pursue your dream. Achieve Disney trivia greatness. Don't give up.
Go ahead.
Not everyone can be president. Some people have to strive for dreams that are not nearly as important.
Okay,
so what are some Disney trivia?
Yes, and the prize was.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't keep it.
That's fine. Well, but I mean,
had the keychains and they had like the metal.
Okay.
But in any case, there was a gentleman, and a typical Disney fan, who thought he knew all the answers.
Yes.
I know the
guy. They would ask.
Why do you say Disney fan? This is just trivia in general. If you go to a bar, they're doing sports trivia. It's the same thing. It's just pretty much trivia. Period.
Okay, fair enough. And he would go.
The just person like that. Would be like. Cough. Just like that.
They'd be like, I want the name of the liquid that destroys tunes in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Do you want what it's made out of? And this person, you know, this person's not, the person asking the questions is not a Disney trivia expert. She's from, you know, the Ukraine, and is just trying to get through.
I'm just trying to put the grains on the table.
Make sure she pronounces Cogsworth correctly.
Right.
And so... Okay, you know, and this is for your little plastic medal. And then you know, goes through and asks all those kinds of nitpicky questions.
Right. Like, instead
you
of
know what they mean to be asking.
Yes.
So then
What theme park represents the countries of the world? Epcot, which stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Although sometimes Walt would refer to it as the Experimental Prototype City of Tomorrow.
Do you wonder what it was called from 82 to 93? Do you want what it was called in 94, 95, or since then?
What is the Big Bang, which is the beginning of life as we know it? I'm not sure if you knew that, Alex.
So then, you know, and then when they start saying, okay, you know, going through the answers, okay, who knows the answer to this? You know,
instant hand up.
Like,
hey,
I'm worried about his shoulder.
At least
problem.
He raised his hand.
And
he could have just shouted out the answer.
So then, he loses.
Aww.
And
to the bigger nerd.
Right, to the bigger nerd. But of course, I'm cool. Like, I'm just sitting there.
Of course, I'm cool. Did you hear?
Cool nerd.
Did you hear that? He like
so
edited.
Yeah, man.
By the way, just
this
in case,
this was a DVC loaded cruise. I'm relatively.
By the way, having cruised with Fanboy and his family, let me tell you, it is stressful because his family expects him to get every single one right. They just sit there and look at him. What's the answer? You know the answer. You have to know the answer. What? You don't know the answer? I experienced it firsthand.
What, like, oh, which soda from China is represented at Club Cool?
Awesome.
Or whatever country it was.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's cool.
All I know is Beverly, which apparently is not made anymore except for Club Cool.
Mm-hmm. You don't know you don't know Mezzomix?
It wasn't Mezzomix. Mezzomix isn't there anymore.
What?
Everything's all screwed up since we left.
Then what else am I going to...
space-time continuum.
What else am I going to mix into my beer? If you read the label, that's what Mezzomix is for.
Okay.
You're supposed to do half mm-hmm. half beer, half Mezzomix.
That's why they don't serve it at the Magic Kingdom.
Okay, so...
So you kept raising your hand.
No, I don't. Because I'm just like... I'm drinking my little parrot song, like, checking them off. I'm not, like, trying to be real cool. And, you know, and I don't want to look like I'm a jerk, because most people...
But you are.
I am, but I try to hide it.
Right.
And...
Poorly.
Right. I try.
Yes. It's hard to fight. Go ahead.
So, they...
There is no try. Do or not.
So then, I win. And...
Where's my applause?
No, because you know they do that. Raise your paper if you got 20,
right?
And then keep it if it's 23, right? Keep it raised if it's 20. And this guy's starting to look at me like getting scared. Then 25, right? And then so he comes and checks my paper.
Did he really? Then, oh, that is awesome.
So then I was like, my brother wanted to play more because he likes winning.
Yes, he does. So, like I say. You know that.
So we went to...
He's very competitive.
That was general Disney trivia. We went to the adult Disney trivia, which was a little scary.
Focusing on the Spice Jam.
So that guy's there again.
Okay.
And these questions were a lot harder. Like,
yes.
When was the incident of...
Lost.
And I... So, and this time he's a little bit more mellow.
Okay.
And... I win again. And I go, he goes...
Unlike me.
So you're going to be at Disney Toon Trivia at 4:30?
Awesome.
No, I got plans. Trivia's not that important to me.
Oh, you're harsh.
You're a jerk.
And then
you're
showed up at Disney Toon Trivia just to spite him.
I had my Adventures by Disney...
you're harsh.
Farewell reception. I did not want to.
Oh, fancy.
Yes.
Couldn't stoop to the... level of the 4:30 Disney trivia goers when you could go to your farewell reception.
There's free food there.
Because you're on a Disney
cruise.
So what was your favorite thing that you ate on the cruise?
Was it on the ship?
Was it the interestingly shaped baklava?
Dude, that baklava looked like poop.
You don't want to hear
it. You said it tasted good. I was happy to see that because when I was scrolling through your pictures, I'm like, why did he put a picture of dog poop?
Speaking of dogs, apparently everywhere in Greece, dogs just roam free. Everywhere. I saw a dog. I started taking pictures of every dog I saw. Because I was like, this is the dog of Santorini. This is the dog of Rhodes. But we went to a place, and it was this woman's house. I mean, quite frankly, literally this woman's house.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying. That just makes you Skip Bayless.
No.
Have fun with
he
that.
Likes the Cowboys too much to be Skip Bayless.
I like Tebow.
Oh, yeah. You like Tebow enough to be Skip.
there's the ref's room, and it has like a woman's sign, and then it has the men's room, and you walk in the men's room, and it's like their guest bedroom, and you walk through the bedroom to get to like
nice.
The men's room.
Okay.
And so she basically just had lunch in this woman's house.
Oh, very interesting.
And she did a cooking demonstration, and the food was spectacular. They had homemade wine, which I didn't drink, homemade ouzo, which I didn't drink.
Oh, seriously?
And then as you exited, she
did your family enjoy the ouzo?
I don't know. My dad might have. My mom won't.
Yeah.
But
oh, I love ouzo.
And then they gave you.
It's a anise liqueur, so it's you would call it a licorice wine.
Oh, no. Okay.
And then, so as they exited, they gave you wine, olive oil, ouzo. That was all made in this woman's house in glass bottles, which was
wow, very cool.
In Turkey, we did have a fun holy water experience.
Okay.
So there's this place that's supposed, you know, according mm-hmm. to, I think, Catholics,
mm-hmm.
And maybe other people. I mean, I'm not a religious expert, so I don't want to step on anyone's toes. But like it was the final home of the Virgin Mary.
Gotcha.
And so there's a spring that supposedly
heals.
Characterized where this place was so they could find it. And
gotcha.
Not had a vision or something. So, okay.
Okay.
So they have a spring, and then they gave us pots to put holy water in.
Mm-hmm.
But the pots were not glazed.
Oh.
So the holy water absorbs into the pot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like people would be like, my holy water disappeared.
Oh, awesome.
I don't know what that says about you.
Woohoo, that's really cool.
I will tell you this. My dad had a bad knee for the first 2 days of the trip.
Mm.
After he put the holy water on his knee, he didn't hurt so much, he said. So,
you know, that's cool.
Take it for what it's worth.
Wow.
That's cool.
So
yeah, he was like, if it works, it works.
long story short, in our house now, there's a an Evian bottle with a tiny little bit of holy
nice.
Water. And I'm terrified to do anything with it, you know, for fear of being smited.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to purchase it, just, you know, make us an offer we can't refuse.
I don't want to do anything with it. I'll sell it.
I'll sell it. I'll profit off this experience of fanboys.
Maybe it'll... Well, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there.
And then when we went to Santorini,
uh-huh.
part of the Adventures by Disney group, and I'm on the boat, and I'm kind of looking, and I'm like, there's an Adventures by Disney sign off of the... already on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, like, oh, I wonder how they got there. Like, we just got on the boat. No, it was the Greek Adventures by Disneyland thing that we just bumped into in the same place.
Wow.
So that was, so we, of course, we got pictures.
Did they shoot jealous eyes at you guys for being on a cruise?
Well, it's funny because some people, Adventures by Disney has a very high repeat. I mean, I think there were maybe two people on our whole trip that had not done one before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So they had two guides. We had two guides. One of their guides did our Adventures by Disney last year.
Mm-hmm.
Some people on their thing had our guides previously.
Aww,
so it was this big sort of
family
incestual
reunion.
Adventures by Disney
thing.
Wow. See, I go, how nice a family reunion. He calls it some sort of
incest.
Lovely.
Yeah.
But
the
man,
yin and the yang.
It was... Got to give a shout out to Dusty and James, our adventure guides. They did a great job. My family is by no means low maintenance.
I can vouch for that.
So I appreciate them. Not only...
But they appropriately compensate you. They're high maintenance, but they're grateful. They're not
the highest maintenance
but,
on our adventure.
Yeah, but they're not unappreciative for the great for the attention.
And but you know, it's nice to have the... There's a difference between accommodating them and making it feel like it's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I know it's not no problem.
Right.
But it's nice that they say it's no problem so that you don't feel guilty.
Darian.
That's wonderful.
So I'm looking forward to we're doing it again next year. Politics.
Woohoo!
Master Vacation, Hojo. No, we're not staying at Hojo.
That's very cool. So jealous.
Thank you for that report. What else do we need to cover, Fanboy? Anything you want to talk about? We got a website. Can we use even more contributors? I think we're up to, 3,000 now?
No, we got some great ones, though. Thanks to all who's...
If you want to... Please keep writing if you're interested.
Yeah. Please keep writing. You know, we're... And come with your ideas, too. You know, we have a lot of interested folks, but each one's bringing their own perspective and ideas, and that's fantastic. So, we have a great person... If you're listening to social media, you're doing a great job. Just need to have time to talk to you more. But I'm looking forward to it. Oh, you know, I should I did tweet out. We're talking, so let me check.
What is this?
I got sent some Tokyo Disney music the other day.
Oh.
Okay, so
so I've been enjoying it. Their entertainment there is just wacky, man. There is all the, like, the I don't know what the name of the show is. I just saw a couple of pictures.
Get Wet Show?
Yes. It's just like they bring out these barges and, like, Mickey has a big water cannon. He's just, it reminds me of Weird Al with the fire hose.
I hear Weird Al's doing the next Super Bowl.
Change.org wants them to. 51,000 people so far.
Bill Heinrich Tailgater says, Star Wars announcement. Do you want to see attraction, multiple attractions, land, park?
I
want to see a simulator attraction.
I want to see the movie first, because I think this whole Star Wars brand is about to go in the toilet.
I just want a restaurant, and I want it to be Cantina Bar. With animatronic band, or even just walk-around band.
The sci-fi dine-in breakfast thing we did made me really want a Star Wars restaurant.
Yes.
I want to trade things with
Jawas. If it was simply just
where could they do that? Where is there? Is there anywhere there that's like a big enough?
They got rid of two.
It does have a big enough floor footprint. Maybe. That's what I'm worried.
I mean, you could go on. I mean, you can
gut it and then close it.
Well, but it's part of the queue for Space Mountain. So I mean, there's infrastructure. So as part of that infrastructure, you'd have to rework that thing
as
again.
As Walt Disney once said, "Nothing is impossible."
I think they should just bring back that escalator. Can you imagine? That'd be the best.
If you dream it, you can do it. And then Marshall has things that we just don't have time to talk about.
Sorry, Marshall.
But we will, because he wants to talk about ABC fall shows, and we'll do our sort of...
Yes, that is coming, because it's almost time.
Prediction sure to be wrong.
It's like a couple of weeks from now.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
Everything's coming back. Scandal, Nashville.
I'm devastated.
Nashville Live, or something, right?
I am so excited about that. They're doing Nashville Live on both coasts. So they'll have a East Coast Live and then a West Coast Live. Yeah. And they're going to offer the music through iTunes. So if you like the West Coast version better than the East Coast version, hoping that's what that means, that would be cool.
What's the show that just got canceled?
Black Box.
Oh, that was just...
It's very sad.
Did that get canceled?
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
I didn't see any episodes of it. It was not my cup of tea.
I had to write a review of it. Thank goodness we have contributors.
Isn't that nice? There must be some Disney fan out there that could actually offer some appreciation for this.
I have already ponied off all of the ABC fall shows, so I don't have to suffer through selfie
awesome.
If I don't want to.
Awesome.
Starring Karen Gillan, who plays Nebula in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm.
And
which one's Nebula?
The Gamora sister.
Sister.
I want to hate selfie based on the title.
But you won't.
But it's based on, it's like a modern day telling of My Fair Lady. To the point where I think the girl's name is Liza, and then the guy's name, his last name is Doolittle.
Does he talk to animals?
No, he does not talk, walk, sing, whatever with animals.
Higgins. Dr. Doolittle. No. It's Eliza Doolittle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm
Henry
sorry.
Higgins.
Yeah, Higgins.
Right.
Higgins
Henry
is the guy.
Higgins is Dr. Doolittle.
My mistake. His last name is Higgins.
That is confusing to someone besides me, right?
It's produced by... It
must be, because when he said Eliza, I expected him to say Doolittle.
Her name is Doolittle.
Yeah, her name's confusing. Doolittle.
I filled it in. Yeah. Henry Higgins, the actor, was Dr. Doolittle, and
Rex
so fanboy
Harrison.
Over there can't follow.
I thought Eddie Murphy was Dr. Doolittle.
In the modern era. So. Before Christ.
But anyway.
Before the Battle of Yavin?
Selfie is from the creators of Suburgatory, which I loved, which
that's
got canceled.
Good show.
And so
no,
that's
really?
Why I'm at
dear.
Least going to give Selfie
okay,
a
I'll have to give it
chance,
a look.
But,
I liked Suburgatory.
Yeah. ABC is full of shows that sound terrible.
Maybe he's full of shows.
He's seen a little too much Guardians of the Galaxy.
That sound terrible, no, but then they like Trophy Wife. I don't want to see a movie about Trophy Wife.
Exactly.
But then it ends up not being about
and then they cancel
and
it.
Then Cougar Town. I want to see Cougar Town, but then it ends up supposedly being good, but I didn't give it a chance.
Lost. So.
Arrow's good. That's CW, by the way.
Do you love Arrow?
I've not seen season 2.
I am really enjoying Arrow. It is so
I saw
fun.
The pilot, and it was too Smallville. Me and it just made me
Smallville. You like Smallville.
I love Smallville. No, that's what I mean. So it was too much of like I just felt like Arrow was cloning Smallville, and
gotcha.
I was like, if I want Smallville,
no,
I'm just going to go
rewatch.
No,
cloning they didn't do till season 12.
I felt like if I want Smallville, I'm just going to go watch my DVDs of Smallville.
But, wow. No, I like these characters more. He's not so... after a while, Clark just irritated. I'm sorry. Mm. Just like, get over it. Your parents abandoned you on some weird planet. Deal.
Same thing with Clark.
Poor Clark. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap barns in a single bound.
And he's stuck in Canada.
Canada.
Well, that's where they filmed Smallville.
And your dad is a duke.
Oh, that's right.
There are actual dukes in this world?
No, Bo Duke.
Oh, okay.
He was John Schneider, who was the man on the street.
He was a Duke of Hazzard.
Do you guys remember that?
I still remember that.
And do you remember that fanboy? Were you watching the news with us when they were like, we're doing man on the street interviews, and then it's like, John, they just interview him like he's just some Joe. And it's names under there. John, we're like, isn't that Bo Duke? And under there's just John Schneider, like L.A., California. So what are you doing today? Oh, I'm just... How does this reporter not know who that is?
And,
that is the second funniest thing I've ever seen on the scene report.
And then your mom's your girlfriend.
Yeah, that was weird. The actress who played the mom on Smallville played Lana on the
in Superman
the
3.
Chris Reeve version.
Kind of like a Godzilla Age of Ultron.
By the way, I'm continuing my campaign against shows that incorporate actors' deaths into the plot because it just gets really morbid many years later.
Who died in Simple Rules? What you're watching?
Both shows. Right now, I've been rewatching Smallville because I didn't finish it, so I've been rewatching part of it so that I can go and finish it in the Chris Reeve character, and I'm like, okay, that's morbid. And then after Gilmore Girls, which, the reruns, it's 8 Simple Rules, and it's like, how many times do I have to, because there's not that many of them. And so it gets back to that, all of a sudden it's James Garner's on my TV again, who is now also, yes. So it's just, it's
which tells you something.
It's incredibly
don't
morbid.
Work on 8 Simple Rules.
It's just very morbid.
Yeah, it was terrible for Kelly Cuoco.
Yes, terrible for her.
I bet she does die eventually.
Everybody
after
does.
Millions
at some,
and millions.
Everybody
of
does at some point.
You can't prove that.
I can't wait for TV to the new season to come back. The summer has been disappointing. There hasn't really been much
really?
Fun summer
There's
fun.
Been The Quest.
No, see.
Murder in the First.
The Quest was not
watchable.
As bad as it looked. I've only seen the one episode, but I didn't hate it. I expected to hate it, and I didn't hate it. But I've actually really enjoyed this summer because...
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I've just fallen in love with Netflix and all kinds of streaming content that I during the normal TV season I don't have time for.
World War Z rated on there.
That doesn't sound like my kind of thing.
I've watched that so many times.
World War Z. I'm
got
shocked.
Streams on Netflix. I love that movie.
I was just watching by. Oh, there's World War Z. It's on. I'll watch it. And you keep. And then it's always on. It's on Netflix. You can't. Yeah. You can't do your Star Wars thing because it's always on.
Yeah. But any shows you're looking forward to particularly?
I haven't taken my yearly critical look at the upcoming slate. As I normally have by this time.
Well, I know we'll be doing that next in the next couple of weeks.
With
so.
E-signature and.
Oh yeah, like work. Anything? There wasn't really super exciting news coming out of Comic-Con this year, way.
I mean, yes.
No, that's true. You were.
They announced Guardians 2. I guess that'd be the big news.
Yeah, but not any.
Happy to see costumes for Wonder Woman, Batman.
Oh yeah, I guess DC kind of. Although, do you see DC, like, first of all, they finally moved their Superman v. Batman movie away from...
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they moved it to March. They moved it up.
Wow, okay.
And then they announced, like, 20... I think, was it literally 20 movies from now until 2020? Or 9 movies?
Yeah, 9 movies.
And just release dates. I mean, Disney does the same thing with Marvel, but it's just... There's no way those can be good.
Why can't DC figure it out? It's so weird.
We don't know. Like, I spend a lot of time talking to Marvel people, and they want... Marvel people tend to be fans of DC. It's not like they...
I understand.
It's not like a Disney Universal kind of want them to fail. They want... They love the characters. They want to see them done well.
Yeah.
And Man of Steel was so negatively received by them. And they just feel like... It feels like the guy... Marvel for... And they're not perfect by any stretch. But it feels like when they make a movie, there's a reason they make the movie and they make it good. They don't make it to make a release date. They don't make it... I mean... There's a plan. DC, it just seems like they said, oh, Avengers did very well. We're just going to do that and try and do it as fast and quickly and not necessarily as good. Same thing with Sony with their Spider-Man franchise. They're just announcing movies without any rhyme or reason to them and just going from point A to point B. They feel like, honestly, it feels like Iron Man 2, where it seems like that was kind of like trying to move too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not upset because they're competition. I'm upset just because I want it to be good.
It's just weird for me because I grew up with more of an affinity for DC because of Justice League. I mean, right. I grew up with more of an affinity for Batman and for Superman. And not just the Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, I read some of the comic books. I especially read quite a few of the Wonder Woman. Not a lot, but quite a few. And it's just, I was floored by that image that came out at the Xena Warrior Prince. Yeah. I was She-Ra. Well,
you know, she spins away.
But it's very strange. It's just, I don't know. I was like, did you not understand what they
sold the holy water.
I just want to hope we get one of these movies where Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
Is a He-Man
or She-Ra movie on the? I mean, because okay, we just have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's out right now. Which, by the way, looks really painfully bad.
I've seen the trailer too much. It hurts. It looks it breaks really my heart. Awful. They're ghetto.
Yeah,
they're not fun. They just, why?
It's very painful. Seriously, I can't even. I have to turn away now.
Yeah,
but
zero affinity for these turtles. I look at those turtles. And go, yeah, this is pretty much what I remember.
No.
Really?
Oh, it's so far.
Oh
removed.
No, not at all.
The only thing that's similar is that they're walking, talking turtles, and the color scheme is correct. But other than that,
they don't even call them the same names. Thankfully, I think that's a good thing.
They're
actually
not Michelangelo, D'Antonio.
They have like
they give them
hip names. You know, like instead of Donatello, it's Donnie.
Do they really?
Yep.
Wow.
This is someone who has no clue about these turtles.
And like, so in the original,
I can't say that because I wasn't a turtle fanatic.
So one of the
I enjoyed
that
them.
Makes me so mad about the trailer. At least is in the original, you know, they all had a thing for April, but they were all dweebs. I mean, they were turtles who grew up in the sewer watching TV, and so all they knew about people was what they saw on TV, and they tried to replicate that.
And they were teenage, so they were awkward already. You know, yeah. it was meant to be the awkward teenage years.
So they were corny and cheesy and funny. And here they're like, you know, they're dropping slang, acting all sly with April, trying to put the moves on her. And it's just been too smooth, and it's awful. It's terrible.
Maybe they got a different channel.
Michael Bay, you deserve to horrible things for selling your holy water.
I'm curious.
Do I risk wrath if I put
don't put that up as the title.
What other like amazing childhood?
What franchises are left?
Yeah,
because I like She-Ra. She-Ra hasn't come yet.
He's gonna ruin
Power
Rangers.
I keep waiting for She-Ra.
Saban's willing to sell.
They're supposed to work on a Masters of the Universe movie.
Okay, that would be nice. But I would like that. That would make me happy.
Rainbow Bright.
Rainbow Bright, awesome.
Everything I know about Rainbow Bright.
A poster for a movie
based on the popular board game Ouija.
Ouija.
It's a horror film.
It is a horror film?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And Monopoly, too, right?
I haven't seen that one.
I thought Monopoly, too, for some reason.
They had enough Monopoly.
Don't they have to make Monopoly 1 first?
I just can't get over this It's a Small World announcement.
I don't even remember.
It's just like a framing device at this point.
It might not have. I mean, they announced Jungle Cruise, and that never happened.
Oh, that's
and this
true.
Is this well, is the second. This is the second
Tomorrowland's
time.
In development, right?
Yeah, Tomorrowland's for sure.
Yeah, that's.
And there's no buzz over that. That wasn't a Comic-Con at all.
No,
what are they doing with that?
They might just be trying to
save
you know, it. Yeah, not.
My
over
guess is save it.
Just a little. I mean, you know, it started with some buzz with the expo and some of the stuff.
I think they're going slow.
Who's the director?
Brad Bird.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah. There'll be some
Pixar
weird
animators have a great live action.
There's only one that has.
Yes. Brad Bird.
That's
did
a tough transition.
He did Mission Impossible, yeah. Right?
And I really like John Carter.
I think we'll have some bizarre teaser trailer touch to.
When's it come
out? Big Hero 6 next May.
Wow, that's soon. I'm surprised there's not more.
Well, we're just now getting an Into the Woods trailer, and that's it's less than 6 months away.
Does that need anything?
I take that as meaning something too.
Well, that one there've been creative issues with that one, as I understand, like how dark to go and all that type of thing. And
I was
is it Sondheim enough? Did we stray too far from that? You know, that kind of.
scenario. Big concern was not answered in the trailer because they don't really show the wolf from the waist down. But does he wear pants? And I hope the answer is yes.
I think we all agree with you that yes, we hope that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Musical, he does not.
There's your headline. Does I hope the wolf wears pants?
Okay, that'll work.
The Big Hero 6 trailer, you probably didn't see it. But did you
I saw it.
I saw it.
What did you think of that?
I
thought it looked cute. I mean, I'm more excited about San Francisco than any
of
the characters.
That was much more exciting than the footage. Yeah.
So. I will see the movie because I want to see more of that. Because it was really cute. Like when he's at the police station talking about this, you know, samurai ninja attacked him or was stalking him or whatever. And then, you know, it just, I don't know.
I've had enough of these kind of animated movies. I just want to go back to princesses. More princesses.
Have there been a lot of this kind of animated movie?
No. I still want more princesses.
Okay. I was going to say.
But we don't have, they haven't officially, in terms of scheduling a release date, they've talked of Zootopia, but they haven't said what is directly
Moana.
Next.
Moana's after Zootopia.
But they have not scheduled Zootopia's release date. Officially still untitled Disney Animation. And based on their track record until they say it's coming up next.
Yeah.
Does Pixar still make movies?
I think.
Let's go back to the...
Oh, sorry.
So, someone says, basically, is 2014 the best year the Disney Studios is ever going to have? Is it possible to get better? And so Bob's like, well, we think 2015 might be good. Because you got to remember, we didn't even release a Pixar film this year. Because the film was not... We had issues with the creative on it, and we didn't want to rush a film that was not going to be good to market. And so I'm thinking, not only did you have, you also didn't have a Star Wars film, or, you know.
An Avengers film.
Yeah, Avengers film. You did fairly well. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying you're going to have.
Yeah, yeah.
But 2015 should be pretty solid.
That's really funny. Wow. It'll be really interesting if...
I'm sorry. Marvel created a movie about a raccoon and a tree with a bunch of characters. We thought Iron Man was second string. These are fourth string. And what kind of brand is that? That is insane.
No, the marketing
that is
was sick.
Pixar's brand, I think. I mean,
yeah, no, the marketing was sick on this. It was insane.
But the marketing only worked because it said...
Well, because you,
Marvel. I
well,
mean,
yes.
People were open to it because
yes.
it said, otherwise
right.
they would have said,
yeah.
yes.
If this was not Marvel, no one would have given, even as good as it is, maybe it would have built over time, but.
And what amazes me, too, is people understand the difference. Like, not just us, but real people understand the difference between Marvel Cinematic Universe Marvel and X-Men Spider-Man Marvel. Which, you know, that's not, it's not obvious.
Yeah.
But they know.
String of hits. That was a good purchase, this Marvel thing. They've managed to monetize it pretty well.
Dude. It's amazing.
Bob Iger is going to be... I mean, even Michael Eisner tweeted about what a great string Marvel's doing.
Could Marvel have done this without Disney? Because this started before Disney.
Oh, yeah. I don't...
Yeah, but I think you would have seen that same kind of, like, with Pixar, there was almost, like, that battle over, like, who gets the bid next. You know, really, because remember, like, other companies were trying to bid at least to be Pixar's distributor if they chose to stay their own company. I think Marvel would have had a tough time with that.
I wonder...
Navigating that politics.
You know, because Marvel stayed pretty Marvel-y, that Disney's not been very involved. But I think the marketing that Disney's able to do just...
And the worldwide exposure.
Paramount, you know, Paramount doesn't... No one does event movies like Disney.
Right.
In terms of making them feel like they're an event movie. I mean, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But Disney is definitely... I mean, I don't want to say that they wouldn't... They would have been successful, but maybe 20% less. And then because you're fighting... You know, one thing Marvel was fighting was is when they were with Paramount, they just... Paramount was distributing it, so Paramount wanted to give the prime release dates to their movies, and then Marvel got, you know, what was that? I mean, granted, they were still summer films and things like that, but at least when you're, I mean, granted, they're fighting for release dates within their own company at this point still, but
That's just an embarrassment of riches problem.
Now they're winning those nights, though.
Well, I mean, you know,
August prime time.
Well, that's the other thing, right? Like, there are two movies this year came out in what, March and August,
yep.
Or April and August. I'm not quite sure, but
so close together. Talking, the one's not on video yet.
No one exactly. Until somehow summer went from May to July to April to August,
mm-hmm.
And. I mean, they could have released this movie January 3rd and it would have done Buffalo.
2015 will be fun. Yep. JJ has a lot to live up to.
It'll be very interesting. The pictures he's been sharing have been fun.
Han Solo in a wheelchair?
Okay, no.
Oh,
no.
My leg. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that on the Range conference call, too.
He was walking around today, though. I saw some footage of him walking to an airplane or something.
CGI leg.
Very awesome. You guys are crazy.
Because you know where his real leg is.
That's awesome, but that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to the Star Wars film. Should we save my Club 33 visit to next time? I know we're getting really long.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay,
especially if we do this next week.
Yeah,
we'll need something to talk about.
What was I gonna say about? You know, I'm watching the Star Wars Rebels build up.
Yes, and I'm so eager for that.
Seeing how excited people are for that. So you know, when we saw Cap.
About her universe skirt, which...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's on its way.
Tell David I said hi. When we saw the Guardians, they had a commercial for Rebels.
Uh-huh.
You know, Disney XD show. People got excited about it. They were cheering, I believe. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what that's going to be when it's like a live-action Star Wars film?
I know.
That's the event movie. We're all going to go to that, right?
Star Wars?
You guys aren't going to see a screening of that. We got to go to...
No, they're going to see screenings. See screening. Yeah, just
but you're still
going
to be there opening mm-hmm. performance.
I'm seriously thinking about taking a trip down to Southern California and seeing it in a decent theater in L.A., you know,
Newport.
Like the big Newport or something. Yeah, or Cinerama Dome or, you know,
well,
just something
cool. We can at least
something
get in
crazy.
With
mm-hmm.
Go be
geeks.
Go be 30 again.
No, but go be geeks. Have a good time. See it on a big screen.
Bouncing the Death Star throughout the theater.
That was the best.
There's nothing.
Giant
nothing
inflatable
like
Death
Wars.
Stars.
I mean, even episode one. There's nothing.
Oh, that's
like,
what the, that's
no,
what
that's
it,
when we did it.
One.
It was awesome.
Like seeing Star Wars opening night.
We were seated in front of Tony Baxter, of all things.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how bad the movie is.
And Josh Shipley was there, too.
Yeah,
I got to talk to Josh for a while. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. That's where I got to know him, actually, was waiting in line for Star Wars. And Boba Fett was there.
Yeah. That's a great idea. We really should do that.
Bob Baranek, I'm pretty sure, was there, too, back in that
Bob
time. I think he is with Goddard, but I'm not sure.
Okay. That'd be a good fit.
Yeah, I think that's where he ended up. I know he went to some other design company, but I can't remember where.
Shall we wrap it up? We can cheese next show. Club 33. Rebecca got to visit.
Yeah, I did. I'm looking forward to time
out. Reimagined Club 33.
Mm-hmm. I did not. I just visited.
Alex is 3 hours talking about how he felt about the 100-foot journey.
Oh, that'll be great.
Oh, and we went to Disneyland, so we can talk about our thoughts on Alice and Big Thunder Mountain.
Yes. We finally got to see Murphy.
Yes, finally. Goodness, how long have you been around?
I know, very long time. So that was awesome. I got chewed out by Rod Miller because I did not tell him we were going to be in Anaheim. So I got a phone call when we got back to San Francisco. No, it wasn't a chew out. It was just I heard you were seriously. This is what I mean. It's a small town. When I say
I mean you were there.
Yeah, he said I heard you guys.
Hark.
I heard you guys were at Disneyland on Sunday. How come you didn't call me? I'm like sorry. So I got in trouble. But that's what I mean. It's a small town. So news travels fast. So that was awesome.
Good journey.
But it was a nice time.
I saw the press kit includes all these recipes. That's all. Ooh. Quite frankly, it's all the press kit is.
Ooh,
so much recipes.
Very nice.
So I'm looking forward to eating.
Yeah.
Is that because of Feast? Oh wait, no. Feast is attached to Big Hero 6, right?
Yeah. Don't get me started.
You know what's wrong with Feast?
Yeah. Feast. There's emotion and care, heart in it, and that's too cliche. So therefore, I don't like. Despite the fact I enjoyed it when I saw it, now that I've thought about it, and I haven't seen.
Tell me how you really feel, fanboy.
I do not like it when reviewers want over sophistication from movies that are not supposed to be over.
Have you seen like you go through Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes for Guardians, and you find the people who didn't, who not only just didn't care for it, just hated the film, and you read their review, and you're like, really? This is why you didn't like, you went into this film, you didn't want to like it, so people would read your review because they'd see that you were one of the few people who didn't like this movie. And then you see the people who read the review, who respond to the review saying exactly that. Seriously?
I'm sorry. I don't understand the people much fun. Who feel the need to criticize the viewer for not liking the movie.
Yes, I'm with you.
He had the right to not like the movie. It got 91%.
I don't. A reviewer's allowed to say whatever, if like it or not like it. It's when the reviewer says, I liked watching it. I liked it. But then I realized it's not sophisticated enough. But yeah, don't get me started on Doobie.
That was Doobie after Guardians of the Galaxy. He comes home and he's like, well, I didn't really. And then as he's telling me all about that, I'm like, okay, you're talking about this film. Like, so I didn't say anything, right? I just pretty much sat there while you talked about the movie.
We exchanged quips.
And then
we went over together how much fun the movie was.
And then I stopped talking about it. So it was like, he just said, yeah, I didn't really like the movie.
My problem was...
And then he proceeded to go on about all, oh, and then this happened. This was so funny. Like,
I had this movie ruined for me. I mean, I'm not blaming someone else, but this movie was ruined. I read too many people who saw it and got my expectations just extremely high. Not only expectations, but of how much I'd like it, but expectations of what it was. And so it didn't meet those expectations, and I came out of there disappointed. Once I had a chance to let it digest, go around, not just evaluate my time in the theater, I realized it actually was an extremely good movie.
Oh, see, I can't do that. I know if I actually thought about this film, it wasn't nearly as good as... For example, when I go see this film decades from now with my son in some special edition, I'm going to laugh my head off like I did when I went to see Star Wars and Luke was complaining about the having to go to Mos Eisley.
That's an intentional laugh.
I don't think so.
This is actually just a comedy. A feel-good buddy comedy.
It's a buddy flick. Yeah, it's a buddy flick.
And at that, it's really, really good.
Yeah. But
really just one way to describe that whole experience.
Which one?
Guardians.
What's that?
I am Groot.
I am Groot.